Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages. It is I, the FRL icon, Sean Jazz Stevens. Happy Tuesday. And yes, it is time for yet another Talking Tuesday segment. And yes, tonight, as advertised, you know, I had put out on social media, it's funny how sometimes in life, you're sometimes drawn to certain things, and Talking Tuesday is always something that has been near and dear to my heart, because it gives me a chance to meet other people and check in with people I normally don't get to. Well, today is a very special day, as we have a very special guest calling in shortly, and they'll be coming in to join us. Jack Tyler Adams and his mom, excuse me, as I'm getting everything situated here. I got French fries being made. I got coffee being made at the same time as everything is getting ready, as we are, like I said. So Jack and Tracy, his mom, will be joining us shortly. Jack is an up-and-coming entrepreneur, has dreams of being a YouTuber and so forth. And, you know, I heard this story earlier, and it's actually, you know, breaks my heart that things like this happen. But in the same sense, I can absolutely relate. But also in the same sense, these are two individuals who have taken something that most people would see very negative and really bad, and they turned it into a positive. So we're going to have Jack and Tracy come on in a short time to talk to us about, you know, what they're doing in life in general. And they could be new fans here at the FRL headquarters. And from what I have, you know, come to learn recently, just today, is that we have more in common than just more than meets the eyes. It's funny sometimes how you can actually be so far apart from someone yet have so much in common with people. And I'm reminded of why I started the FRL years and years ago. And, you know, just the outpour of support that my family and I have shared in our darkest times has been overwhelming and very heartfelt. And sometimes in life, entertainment world and various other places, it's not always a very nice place. Not everyone is F4L. Not everyone believes the things that we do. But we are definitely people who beat to a beat different drum when you're F4L. We stand for love, care, and compassion, understand and respect for each other's differences. Not everyone can understand what that means, truly. And not everyone can, you know, really be into that. Very frequently, Jack, who is a really funny individual, makes a lot of videos, him and his mom, on you know, various different social media platforms, and hopefully they can explain how they do some of their fun reels and stuff. I unfortunately am not all that creative when it comes to reels and things of that nature. I'm fairly inexperienced in reels and so forth and whatnot, but so hopefully they can give me some pointers and also, you know, learn a little bit more what goes on with these up-and-coming people and how impactful they can be. And we can talk about, you know, social media and pop culture in general. I think Jack is going to be a fantastic addition to the show, and I think it's going to be great to have them on here momentarily. And after a very long conversation, I've come to realize that I am very old school as far as communication goes. I actually prefer the old school way of picking up a phone and calling someone than emails and messages. There isn't being, and I do that for the record for people, and people know who have been on the show. I have, you know, most of the time I set them up via Instagram or social media platforms or email. But if I'm being truthful and honest, I would much prefer, you know, what I do on the show and talking to people rather than, you know, message someone. Reason being is sometimes when you're sending messages and so forth, things can be misunderstood or, you know, you don't put something someplace. And notoriously speaking, myself as a whole, I'm an individual and I am someone who is a firm believer in giving people opportunity and chances and so forth. And I think that one of the things that I've been gifted with is being able to see talents and see people who are genuine. And there are a lot of genuine people in the world, and I think it's important to stick together in those times. Holidays are coming, and speaking of which... Hello, thank you for calling me FL Headquarters. Is this our friends Jack and Tracy?
It is.
It is. How you doing?
How you doing?
Oh, I am fantastical. Thank you very much. Can you guys hear me good?
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing. Oh, amazing. How technology is an amazing thing. You know, this show is one of those funny things where early in the stages, before I switched to Blog Talk Radio, it was like one of those, hopefully everything worked out well. And sometimes, things like Wi-Fi, for example, would come into play, tornadoes, weather. So it's always fun when you can actually talk to people, making them understand me. So, welcome. Well, first of all, welcome to the FRL headquarters, first and foremost. I was just talking about you guys. Maybe bragging a little bit about you guys and telling people how awesome I thought you guys were. I might have told them you guys might be my new favorite people. But that is neither here nor there. Oh, thank you very much. And one of the things we like to do on this show is introduce people who maybe not everyone has heard of. Perhaps people have lived under a rock somewhere. So for those people who have lived under a rock for as long as you guys have been on social media stuff, whatnot, how about if first you guys introduce yourselves and tell people who have lived under a rock who you guys are, what you guys do, and a little bit about yourselves before we get into all the other fun stuff.
Okay. Jack, you want to do it or you want me to?
Okay, we're going from lowest high. I'm going to go first.
Okay. Lowest to highest, huh? Okay. So clearly we do humor on Instagram mostly. Jack is 9 years old, and we're kind of a mother-son team. Most people would know him from our viral video where he was riding the bus, and he gave
a girl a note.
He gave someone a love note saying that he liked this person, and it turned out that it was a little boy who just happened to look like a girl. So a petite little boy who he had a crush on, not realizing that it was a boy. So that got about 8 million views, and that kind of catapulted us. And Jack does storytelling.
But there's like an entire backstory of that video, because what happened is that I came home for like a week saying that I like this cute Korean petite girl on bus. Girl, obviously, not knowing that it was a boy.
And Jack's not one to really have crushes, so I was excited. I thought, oh, he's finally got a crush, and this is great. And it turns out it's a boy. And his pain just made us all laugh so much, and we were so blessed that people on social media kind of embraced him and laughed with us, and we kind of catapulted from there. Yeah.
It's funny how that works, huh? Something small like that. And it's also, you know what, though, in all fairness, I have to say that it's easy to sometimes confuse people these days, because nowadays everyone kind of dresses the same. You really don't know what's what anymore. So I think a lot of us have been in that place before where, you know, you'll go to a place where you're not 100% sure. Sometimes even sometimes we have to guess. Sometimes you hope that you say the right thing. You don't want to say the wrong thing because then you don't want to offend people. But, you know, you go to a store and say, thank you, young lady, or thank you, ma'am, sir. And then you come to find out they're the opposite. And then you want to crawl into a hole and say, well, thanks for that.
That's right. Well, I remember, I surely remember the band Hanson. One of the members of Hanson, quite a few young ladies had a crush on this person from Hanson, and it turned out that they found out it was a boy.
Oh, man. That's awesome, because I can relate to that. The reason being is not because I had a crush on them, because I legitimately thought when Hanson started, because I'm old and I remember when Hanson started, I legitimately thought they were girls because, you know, when you think of the way they sang and that song they did that gets stuck in your head over and over again, and you can't get out of it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's one of those songs. Legitimately, I know for myself, I legitimately thought they were girls because I never heard, you know, boys generally sing that high. I mean, of course, we know Michael Jackson and things like that, but clearly you know who Michael Jackson was even at that age. But,
sure.
You know, but here we are, you know, the Hanson started and they had the long hair. And you know what? I completely get it if someone came up to Hanson and said, hey, girl, what's going on? And, you know, Zach Hanson's like, hey, what's up? And then they get all horrified because they have these high-pitched talking voice, singing not so much.
Right. Well, I can tell you that about a week later, I had dropped Jack off at school, and I saw the child in question, and I genuinely thought this person was a girl as well. I don't want to say the person's name to embarrass him, but he has since cut his hair. And now him and Jack are the best of friends, and they laugh about it, and it's great.
No, he hasn't cut his hair.
Oh, I thought he cut his hair.
He never cut his hair.
Oh, I apologize. I thought he said he cut his hair.
But now that I've known him longer, kind of like this kind.
It makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Because, like, he has the boy trait. So now I'm like, yeah,
I just
That's
good.
Kind of like.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so, and then Jack has always been funny and posted funny videos, but I think that kind of catapulted him into, you know, the over 10,000 follower mark, you know, and but Jack is a great storyteller, and I think people really enjoy that about him, and our followers are so just loyal and amazing, and we try to give them as much love back as they give to us, and I think that's what really has put us where we are, and hopefully in the future continue to grow and continue to get to know more of our followers and continue this on.
And move into the UFRL headquarters.
That's right. Absolutely.
Exactly. Well, it sounds like you guys fit right in with the rest of us here at the UFRL headquarters, so that's exciting. I can tell by the dynamic. It's awesome to have, and, you know, we've had people on the show from all different various places, from entertainment and film, and, you know, then we have, you know, sports people, athletes up and coming. One of the last shows we had a watch-along of one of our YouTube shows, which is a very popular thing to do. And we had a watch along with some of the people who were on our YouTube show, and they're actually bodybuilders. And one of them is a young bodybuilding competitor. And when we had him on our show, this is back in October that he was on our show. And I said, you know what? You keep going the way you're doing. You're going to go on that stage. Who's going to beat you? Just tell them, watch my videos. Who's going to step up there? Fair enough.
Right.
While I was away, that young man ended up going up on stage and actually won in Las Vegas. He was 11. I think he's 11 as JoJo. We were one of his first podcasts, which we were happy to have him. And what's funny is, you know, just about July, we had the legendary Philip Ricardo Jr., who was a world-class, world-renowned natural bodybuilding competitor and champion. So, in other words, when he competed with Philip Ricardo Jr., I don't know if you're familiar with bodybuilding, but he is he's a bodybuilder who doesn't use performance-enhancing anything. He strictly believes in just going to the gym and the guts and grit. So everything that Philip does is all natural. And funny how the world evolves is Philip is actually JoJo's mentor and is his trainer, go figure. So it's one of those small worlds. And then Philip found out on our show that we've had JoJo on our show. So it's one of those small world things. And apparently, people who come on the show seem to get a rub after this. So, you know, just to feel warned, you might have big things happen after this. I can't guarantee anything. But if history repeats it, you know, I think you should be okay. come on here, won bodybuilding competitions, and then won MMA fighting competitions, and do various other different things they go on to do. Win an Academy Award, you know, nothing big, just little things.
We both believe, and we always have, that we set our intentions for what we want, and we let the universe do the rest. We set it and forget it. And we know every step and everything that we do is leading to the next great thing, whether it's something that we might perceive as bad or something of that nature. We know that it's for the good of what's to come for us. You know,
right.
We truly believe that. And whether you call it manifesting or praying to the Lord or whatever someone calls it, we really believe that if you really set an intention of what you want, the universe will adjust and make it happen. Because in our lives, we pray to God, and we believe that, you know, God doesn't put something in your soul, a craving for you to do, if he doesn't give you the talent and a way to do it. You just
absolutely
have to keep your eyes open and work towards it. So that's,
exactly,
that's what we live our life by. And that's,
you know, it sounds like you guys definitely belong here on this podcast, because I think that's pretty much what everyone on this show seems to be the common denominator. Is they know they have to believe in it, in themselves, put the work in, and they can achieve it. And that's awesome that you guys are able to do that. And congratulations on all the followers. You're much more popular than I am. But then again, but you know what? As far as social media goes, I don't pay attention to those things, if I'm being honest. And also on top of that, I also have had, like, I'm notorious for, you know, starting one thing and forgetting a password and then starting another thing on our YouTube.
Right.
In my YouTube venture, I have had several channels on YouTube, and YouTube absolutely thinks I'm hysterical. I don't know why they think that, but I guess I am. They seem to like, you know, it's funny how something small can turn into something big, right?
Right.
And it's awesome to have a personality to be able to have to go after things. So, you know, I just am, you know, I think you guys are fantastic at what you're doing. I think it's important to have those laughs. I think the problem with people today is they just don't have the time to laugh, or they're afraid to laugh.
Yeah.
And I think that's both sad. I think laughing is healthy, just like crying is healthy. And it is.
Yeah.
And you know what? And that's the ultimate goal, right? If you want a better world,
right,
in order to have a better world, you got to spread positivity, not negativity. Work together to get that done. You know, be positive and be helpful and stay away from all the negative. When I started this show,
right,
I didn't think it was going to be a thing crazy or big. And just like my YouTube thing, I didn't think that was going to be anything crazy. In fact, fun story, I didn't even know what YouTube was when it first started, until I joined the wrestling company when I was returning to wrestling, because at that point I had already been in the business. Because before, you know, social media existed, you actually had to, you know, you actually went out there and did a lot of kinds of different things. And unfortunately, there's not a lot of, you know, there was no one following around like there is today. Back, unless you were a major celebrity, then you had paparazzi doing the same thing as social media does now.
Right.
Which, let me tell you, the paparazzi can be annoying. But, you know, when they start hiding in your bushes and, you know, camping out in your garage, you know you're big. So just to fail warn you,
make sure
your garage is a lock, by the way. Or get a raccoon to take care of all those things for you, a really big dog.
That's right. We've got cameras all around our house. We're prepared.
Oh, that's good. You got to get ready. Well, that's also so you can get those right angles, right? That's also
right.
To get the right angles,
right? Everything's covered. Yeah. We live in the country, so we don't have a lot of neighbors, but we have guns.
And animals. You have guns.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, we have two killer cats, Crispy and Tesla.
Cats can be just as dangerous, let me tell you. My wife would be right there.
Right.
She loves cats.
Hey, if we get a robber that's allergic to cats, we are covered.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, right? You know, one of our things growing up is we used to have dogs that used to, you know, because dogs are very interesting animals. If you got the dogs that were trained to be these nasty monster dogs, then you have a good dog. But then again, I guess it's just how we raise them. If you raise it like anything else, people, kids, whatever, if you raise them right, then dogs, and it, no matter what breed it is, can be nice. We used to have a dog that was like gigantic, and he was like the sweetest dog ever. And he was just not a good watchdog at all, or a burglar or anything else. We had another dog who was a pit bull. We had a pit bull. We got a young pit bull dog, which have a nasty reputation. Again, it's how they're raised, not so much, you know, the breed. It's just how people raise them or teach them or whatever.
Right.
But this dog, if you broke in our house, he'd probably show the robbers where everything was and maybe even bring it to them. I don't know.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
that's usually the way it goes. It's the chihuahua that bites your head off.
Oh, let me. Chihuahuas to me are kind of like Chucky in the horror, or a puppet in any, or a doll in the horror movie. I never understood why people would ever be afraid of dolls and things that are like ankle high. First of all, yes, a dog would hurt if it bit. As much as the dog would hurt biting, the fact that a chihuahua would bite a person who's 6 feet tall and X amount of things, I would just die laughing. I would just laugh at the dog biting at me.
That's so true.
I'll tell you right now, if Chucky came after me, Chucky, all of, you know, 3 feet tall of him, he came after me with anything, I'd beat that thing so far across the room, it wouldn't even know what was hitting them. So I never understood
Jack and I would be gone. Jack and I would be gone. We're terrified of dolls and clowns. We don't like either of them.
Yes.
Dolls and clowns you're afraid of, eh?
Yes. We don't do clowns. We did watch It, which we loved. But we had it was creepy. We didn't like it.
I helped with casting for that, so I'm glad you liked it. I'm glad you liked that. I helped do some casting for that. So.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah.
Fantastic people.
We like to be scared, so we're okay with that. We're not.
You like to be scared. That's awesome. You don't care.
Yeah.
You like to be scared. You just don't want Bozo to come knocking on your door right now. Get it?
No,
right?
No. Yeah, no circus.
Well, he just gave me the chills, bro.
You don't do dolls either. So Chucky would be out as well.
Yeah, no.
Annabelle?
Yes.
What about Annabelle? Would you deal with Annabelle?
Yeah, we've seen Annabelle, and it was creepy. That's why we don't like dolls.
The real Annabelle or the movie Annabelle? Because the real Annabelle is much less impressive than the actual movie Annabelle.
Oh, well, we saw the movie.
We watched the actual Annabelle.
No, we didn't watch the actual. We saw a documentary.
You saw the movie. I got you.
We saw the movie Annabelle. And then we saw a documentary on a supposed haunted doll that was kind of like the Annabelle story. But I don't know if it was. Yeah, that's about all we've seen as far as that goes. So what's the real Annabelle?
Real Annabelle is actually very much less impressive. It's just a Raggedy Ann doll. But you probably remember a Raggedy Ann doll versus everybody else. Because, I mean, I don't know if they make Raggedy Ann dolls. Well, you're young, like, you know, like us, you know, you're 18 years old, so they have 18-year-old Annabelle, Raggedy Ann dolls. Tracy actually just graduated from high school, and congratulations to her doing this.
Yes,
she did a fantastic job. You know, for a 3-year-old, you've done an amazing job, and you know what?
You know,
these are the effects.
It was work.
So,
I had to share my bottle, you know. We potty trained together. It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was great.
I remember going into the litter box.
You remember going into the litter box?
I was like,
That's right.
Well, there you go.
I had it when I was 42. See, I don't mind telling my age. I'm 50. How old am I?
52.
I'm 52.
Oh, I can't remember either. That's funny. I can't remember how old I am either.
I don't mind because I don't look it. Now, if I looked 52, I would not. Well, I don't. You know what? I think I would still tell my age. You know why? Because that's who I am. It is what it is. Saying it, don't say it doesn't make. If I don't say it, I don't turn into a 28-year-old, so I might as well just let it fly.
You know, my grandmother used to say, you're only as old as you feel. So that would
That's
sometimes
right.
work. For the most part, that is
97.
True. You're only as old as – yeah, so and it, sometimes it doesn't work so well. And unfortunately, when I got to be at the age I could tell my grandmother, well, I'm 13 now, and I feel like I'm 90 years old. Does that mean I'm 90 now, Brady? But unfortunately, she was gone when I was 13, so I couldn't really make those jokes yet
by
the time I could do that. So some stuff like that. Oh, you know,
well,
but, you know,
yeah.
they live with you. You know, those are the stories that resonate, and those are the things you continue to tell those stories, the positive ones. We take those negatives and we turn them into positives.
Yeah. I think negative stories, you know, even negative ones, you have to look for the light in them because
exactly. there's always
you
something.
You know, if you ride your emotions like life on that roller coaster, you're going to be up and down, up and down, up and down. You know,
Absolutely.
Being positive is a choice. It's a choice, you know.
It is.
And
it's a tough one too sometimes.
That will age you quicker than drinking, smoking, anything else you can think of. That will age you more than anything is being angry and being, you know, negative and, you know, just living your life like you're waiting for the ball to drop, you know. That's just
oh, absolutely.
This is not conducive to health.
So right.
We try not to. Sometimes it gets us a little bit, but we try not to. Okay.
No, I get that. We all get there. What's that?
Okay. So there's one thing I just want to say about one video game. Especially Fortnite.
You play
Fortnite is like a roller coaster. I'm just saying, because, like, remember 2019 to 2020? I think that's when it was. Chapter 2, Season 3, the Marvel update. It was probably the best update. But then it just went down, but then it went up, but then it went down again. And it's like, what? Pick one.
I have no idea what he's talking about, but he's so passionate about it, I'm in.
I do know what he's talking about because my son also played the Fortnite, even though originally, when Fortnite originally started, he was like, oh, I'm not going to get in on that. I'm not playing that. That's, you know, that's you know, this, that, and the other thing. And then, of course, when all his friends were playing Fortnite, he was in Fortnite, so... He started up, you know, hating on it until he actually started playing it. He does like the Minecraft as well. He still likes that.
Oh, that's Jack's thing. Jack
course,
is such a Minecraft.
He also helps out with the
Jack is...
Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's a delay. Here we go. I fixed it. Go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
I can
Testing
hear you
one,
now.
Testing 1, 2.
Man.
Excellent. Reach out. This is fun.
Again, life isn't perfect, is it?
No. Like I said on this show, sometimes, you know, it's good. The reason I make the joke at the beginning of the show when the technology works is because early days, like, you never know it was going to work or not. The Wi-Fi would jump or the person's phone would die or, you know, some technical error would come into play. A ghost would come on the thing, and we'd have to deal with EVP things. And, we've had all kinds of fun.
I hate it when that happens.
Yeah, don't you hate it when, you know, when the ghosts try to take – you know, it's one thing to be photobombed by someone in a photo, but to have a ghost just try to take over your show, it's just very rude. You know what I mean? It's just – I hate when that happens.
Well,
it doesn't happen much anymore.
You know, those ghosts from the wrong side of the tracks, they just have no coos whatsoever.
Right. You're right. If only I knew who to call. You know, I wish there was just somebody I could call to take care of those things.
Ghostbusters. You didn't see the ad? Who are you going to call?
Oh, that's a great idea. That's a great idea. Now, here's the question. Which Ghostbusters do I call, though? Do I call, you know, Bill Murray and company? Because they're like 90 years old each. What do I call the girls to have them divorce? Who would you call?
Oh,
I would say the girls.
I would say Bill Murray because the girls will get you in trouble with your wife. Well, Bill Murray. I don't see him out doing much lately, so he's probably home.
I mean, Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, and all those guys trying to put those backpacks on. Oh, man, I don't know. Maybe they'd break a hip. I don't know. But then again, you know what? Then again, they're hardworking in the gym. They might be okay. You never know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what?
I think
but it is good. You know
on Facebook about Bill Murray. He's in North Carolina or was in North Carolina for something. I don't know. He's around.
Bill Murray makes appearances everywhere. Bill Murray is someone who kind of will just show up, and he's got a history of that. I remember once we were filming Good Will Hunting. I don't know if you ever heard of that film. It was a film with Matthew way back in Matt Damon's first film and, well, one of his biggest roles.
Sure.
And, of course, that had one of my favorite actors of all time in it, Robert Williams. I remember when we were on set, because I did extra work for that, and way back in the day, and when, you wouldn't even know it, but when they were doing the scenes in Harvard, Bill Murray was on set hanging out with Robin Williams and things like that, because he was just in set. And he just showed up. They didn't show him, but he was there, messing around with Robin Williams and stuff, so. Interesting,
right.
Interesting character. He's a regular. He'll pop up everywhere. He's also a guy who will just show up at a wedding sometimes. He'll just show up.
Really?
Can you hit? Oh yeah, he'll just show up at things if he's in the area.
I love that though, because for people that are fans, that's a huge deal to them. You know?
Oh sure.
That's really a big deal.
He just shows up anyway. Yeah. He's
probably at a wedding. There's at least one fan.
Yeah. Well, no one said they were invited. They invited him. He just showed up at it. I didn't say they invited him to the wedding. He just showed up.
I show up at weddings too. It's free food. I'm like, there's a lot of people. They're not going to notice.
We got married in a wrestling ring, so it was kind of hard to miss getting into the ring. So we knew everyone who was at our wedding. Also, the 10,000 other people there.
I have a funny wrestling story that I wanted to save for you. So ready? I hope you respect me after this.
Oh, love funny wrestling stories because probably nothing I haven't heard before.
Oh, my God.
Been in the business for 20 years. I just celebrated 22 years in wrestling.
Oh, my God. So I was married at the time, and my husband was the biggest wrestling. And we were living in Louisville, Kentucky. And we lived there. He was from there.
Yeah,
so
gotcha.
I took him and I paid for the very best ringside. I mean, we were right there.
Oh boy.
Got the best. And had a wrestler and her name was China. You remember China, right?
I absolutely know China. She graduated from the same wrestling school as me.
Oh, that's amazing. Okay.
Her and Triple H, actually.
Well, I did not know her. I did not know anything about wrestling.
Uh-oh.
I just knew I loved my husband, and my husband was into this. Now, I had seen her because of obviously when I walk through the living room, I see her. So I start shouting at the top of my lungs before anybody does, go Crystal, go Crystal, go Crystal. I knew it was Sisler, but I thought her name was Crystal. So he keeps nudging me, and when he nudges me, I'm thinking he's like all into this. So I start, go Crystal, Crystal, we love you, go Crystal. And he says, shut up, you idiot, her name's China. So I was so embarrassed. Like everybody was just watching me. I was so embarrassed. And I never went to another wrestling match again. That's my only wrestling match.
Well, we're going to fix that, I think. I bet we're going to fix that real quick. If I was to tell you about wrestling, I could tell you wrestling. Trust me, that's happened plenty of times. How about walking up to someone completely forgetting their name when you're doing a promo with them? That's always fun.
Oh, no.
I could tell you stories that would – you know what, those are the ones that, people – tell because they're funny and it's what keeps everyone. Those are the memories, right?
Like, you know, the things you learn, like, you know, when you're in wrestling school, it's probably not in your best interest for wrestling jeans. And also on top of that, and also this is a lesson to anyone out there. And also, if you guys ever choose to go into wrestling or anything like this, I do encourage you guys to check your bags before you leave the house. Triple check, just in case. Because I swear I had everything in my bag because I keep everything together and I'm very organized, believe it or not. So when I got to the gym where I was training all these rookies, like my job was to train the guys and tell them how to talk and things like that. So, you know, I always had my gear with me, which you always should. I show up. I thought I had everything with me. I checked the bag, or I thought I did. I made sure my, you know, I saw my elbow pads were there and my knee pads were there. My headband was there and, you know, all the important things. My boots were in there. And, of course, I get to the place and, yeah, I didn't have my tights. Didn't have my shorts. Have an extra pair of anything. So I had to I said, you know what? You know, I got this. You know, I'm just training them today. I'm just going to do this in my jeans. Other people, I mean, Chuck Norris fights in his jeans all the time. You know, look at all those action guys. You know, I've seen, you know, Triple H, the guy who's wrestled train wrestling school as me. He wrestles in jeans once in a while. I'll be fine. Yeah, they have special jeans for that, for the record, and I didn't know that, of course. So here I am. I'm about to teach all these rookie students, and yes, everyone's there. And now here's the fun part. Where we were training people, this is when I returned to wrestling. I had taken some time off. I was injured, and I was coming back to wrestle. And I wasn't in the shape, quote, what I used to be. Let's put it that way. I was always someone who, you know, when I was younger in high school, I was a very athletic individual, playing soccer, swimming. I was on the swim team, soccer team, and the wrestling squad, which is Greco-Roman, which is different. And I was also doing martial arts. And in order to do swimming, obviously, I have to be in shape because you have to be able to, you know, pull that off.
Right.
And then when I got injured, of course, you know, what always happens, you know, you get injured and you can't go to the gym because I wasn't allowed to. So I put the weight on. I could still work the ring. You wouldn't know that I was, you know, I was big guy, granted, but I was actually still able to run the ropes and work the ring better than a lot of the younger guys. But you weren't supposed to know that. But that doesn't mean that my clothes are the same necessarily. So here I am about to teach this class where this little, you know, company that I'm training the students in, mix of, you know, people, men, women, you know, I think they had a thing where the parents could sign off, the kids could train as young as 15. So, okay, cool. And, of course, the parents had to be there as well. So that's no big deal. So all the parents are there, and everyone's there training. I'm thankful there wasn't too many young people there. And also, the way this ring was in the middle of a hockey rink. Well, not in the middle of a hockey rink. There was a hockey rink there, and while our ring was off to the side of the rink, there was a hockey game going on, you know, on the roller court part of the rink. So here I am training these kids and telling them how to talk. And now someone said, well, how do you do this? And, well, needless to say, I found out that not all genes are created the same way. And I went to take what we call a bump, which I've done many times before. And if I was wearing my tights, it would be no issue, except for these are my only things I wore to the arena, and I didn't have anything else to change in. So these jeans tore right in the middle. And if you've ever gone anywhere where you've torn your pants, probably one of the most embarrassing things ever, right, in public when it happens, if you're lucky. If you're not lucky, I should say. Well, imagine doing it in front of a bunch of hockey players and wrestling trainers and everything else. And now I not only – this was like the first thing I did when I got in the ring. So, and I still had 2 hours at this seminar I had to train. So for 2 hours, I had to sit there with these ripped jeans, which, let me tell you, it takes a talent to rip jeans like that.
So the question of the hour is, did you have underwear on?
And the question to that is, of course I did. Knock on wood for that occasion. Thank God. But could you? But let me tell you this: there's not much. But regardless of what was wearing under it doesn't mean there was nothing left to the imagination either. Because everyone got this. I mean, granted, in wrestling, you show more of yourself than most people are comfortable in showing. So you get used to that. But I'm going to tell you that I was not overly fond of that particular outfit because I would hear that story for years after that, after that training session. So that to say, I always double, triple check everything I bring with me to everywhere I go. So that doesn't happen ever again. So,
oh, my gosh. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, lesson learned.
Yeah, you're not kidding, especially when you're trying to do certain maneuvers or certain things. And yeah, it's just not a good idea. Don't ever do that. Just double-check everything, whatever you do. Trust me on that.
Yeah.
That is a walking joke right there.
Oh, I bet it is.
I have a funny ripping pants story, too. So,
I can't wait.
So I think you remember this because it was when I was in second grade, and I didn't like soccer at all, but because all the other kids played it, I just played it one day for no reason. And I noticed when I was walking out, there was a lot of, like, sand patches. I mean, not sand, dirt patches. And I always just fell just, like, walking on that. So later, after the soccer game, it started raining. Like, when I say raining, pouring. And
ooh, they got mud.
Running,
right.
Yeah. And as I was running, I lost my shoe. When I went back to get my shoe,
you fell.
In the most convenient place.
Uh-oh.
And, yeah. But when I got up and went to the classroom with my muddy shirt and muddy pants at the back, made me look like I ate Taco Bell 2 hours ago. So, when I went into the classroom, a girl screamed, "What happened?"
What happened? Your pants were split? Did you have underwear on?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
But
okay.
The most embarrassing part is I had tight underwear on.
Okay.
With Pokemon on them.
The Pokemon, so everybody thought your Pokemon poking out. Oh my goodness. I actually remember that because you had on pants from the nurse that day. I actually do remember that. Oh my goodness. Oh, the things that are important to a 9-year-old, well, I guess back then it would have been a 6-year-old, right? 7-year-old?
No.
Yeah. Jack's birthday is Sunday. He's having a double-digit birthday on Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
His double-digit birthday is on Sunday. He'll be 10.
Oh, man.
Yep.
You're getting 10 years old. What do you got planned for this 10-year-old birthday party? Or party? What are you doing for your 10th birthday?
We're going to throw back some beers, go get some hookers.
Yeah.
No.
I was about to say what time the girl's getting there, but then I was like, wait a minute. Now, if I make that joke, that might be...
Girls.
Or we can get that. Maybe we can get his friend come there, and he can dance, perhaps.
There you go. She is pretty.
Well, there you go. Maybe he'll dance
between a boy and a girl. So.
Well, I mean, there you go. Hopefully, he's listening, so he knows he can come to Jack's party. He's expected to dance now.
That's right.
Listen, young man.
Yeah. Well,
girl, ladies.
What we have planned is right. So what we were going to do is at 2 o'clock on Instagram, we're going to have a live.
Mm-hmm.
And some of his followers have sent him gifts and cards and mm-hmm. things of that nature. So we're going to do a cake, and we're actually going to have, like, a virtual birthday party. Jack, because of his personality and where we live, we don't have any neighbor kids. And he just got into his new class. He doesn't know anybody. Doesn't know anybody to invite to a birthday party, unfortunately.
No, I did.
So, well, you have the couple in your class, but it's Thanksgiving weekend. That's the problem. The two people that he knows in his class are going out of town for his birthday.
Oh,
and
man.
He said they don't like him that much.
Yeah, the more of an associate. You know the associate thing?
The associate friend.
What day is that?
He said they're more of an associate friend.
Oh, associates. Well, that's, you know what? I get that. Associate friends. I like that.
Jack, you know what makes him what makes him so much fun on social media actually makes him a social outcast in real life. It's
you
a
know what though?
He's
our kind of outcast, because these are the things that we do on this show. We embrace these kinds of people because we're those
wonderful
people. We do those things. That's what we do. So good times. You know, my son actually, funny story, my son just turned 20 and he makes me feel even older. He just celebrated his birthday on the 11th. And oh my gosh. You know, I told them I told both kids when they were younger, they weren't allowed to get taller than me, but most kids don't listen to us anyway. So, well,
right,
let's put it this
right.
way. My daughter listened to me, so I guess I don't know what that says. So, but anyway, my
pretty
son
awesome.
May or may not be a half an inch taller than me, but that's okay. They're both awesome. But anyway, my son just turned 20, and he asked me, you know, this is my first time missing one of his birthdays in forever because I was out of town working at a pop culture convention with a bunch of celebrities and people like that.
Right.
And one of the celebrities there, my son's known since he was like 9 or 10 years old, which was Robert Englund, who was famously played Freddy Krueger in Nightmare on Elm Street.
Sure.
Well,
sure.
My son, when he was younger, we went to a restaurant, and we were in the restaurant at the hotel, and, you know, Robert Englund and his wife came in, and my son, who was hungry, and let me tell you, kids, when they're hungry, it doesn't matter what's there. He wants to eat, so there's that.
Right.
So
right.
Because it was a packed restaurant and, you know, whatever, Robert Englund offered the tables, you know, offered $100 for anybody who wanted to give up their table, and my son was not giving up the table because he wanted to eat. But we had two extra seats there, so he invited, you know, he said, why don't you ask Robert and his wife if he wants to sit with you here? And he didn't say Robert, he asked that guy because he didn't know who he was. And even during the dinner, he wasn't 100% sure who he was because my son's not really into horror movies like the rest of us are. But then again, we're we're all over the place. We like a little bit of everything.
Right,
but And needless to say, you know, Robert Englund ended up, him and his wife had dinner with us, and he was one of the nicest people you'll ever meet. But to this day, whenever I run into Robert Englund or and my son's with me, usually Robert Englund will say, well, you know who I am yet? And my son will say, nope, still have no idea who you are. Even though I had dinner with you for 3 hours when I was a younger kid, I have no idea. My son's my son, so there you go. But what's funny is Robert and Tyler Mayne, who played Michael Myers in Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Right.
If you saw that one. Tyler Mayne is actually a really good friend of mine, and Tyler Mayne is also was also Sabretooth in the X-Men movie, if you remember that.
Oh,
maybe
course,
back in the day.
Of course, yeah.
But, of
yeah.
course, also, what a lot of people don't know is he actually started as a pro wrestler back in the day. He worked for WCW at the time. So me and Tyler Mayne go back years ago. So I saw Tyler Mayne at the same show, and Robert Englund was like 2 seats down, and Tyler Mayne saw me, you know, obviously I'm there without my son. And Tyler Mayne said, so thanks for putting us in the Hall of Fame. And then Robert goes, the only Hall of Fame you'll ever see. Because Robert Englund's a wise guy. He likes to give everyone a hard time. So,
sure.
Because, you know, the YouTube show my son and I do, which was I was, you know, telling you about, which I never, ever, this is one of those things where kind of like how you probably didn't think when you put that video up it was going to get as big as you thought it was. Am I correct?
Right.
You didn't know exactly how big it was going to get. Okay.
No, not at all.
I never thought that people would ever want to see Peter Griffin and Homer Simpson fight ever in a wrestling
right.
thing.
Right.
Because, and the truth be told, the reason that happened is because my son was sick home from school, and I wanted to cheer him up.
Right.
So what do you do as a parent? You want to do something to make him laugh, because my son, like your son, likes to laugh and have a good time. But he's also, you know, a video game guy, my son, and, you know, he comes around, he's the son of two wrestlers, so what are you going to do?
Sure.
But,
sure.
So needless to say, you know, the games have a feature called Create a Wrestler. So because I wanted to see him laugh, I built Peter Griffin and Homer Simpson, or closest to it.
And now he's dying. So now we got to figure out, okay, well, we're going to see them fight. And then, because I mean, that's what you do in wrestling, you fight, right? But we found out that if you can set the game to demo, and the game will actually play the thing out. You don't have to do anything. Just sit there and watch it, really. My son goes, you know what? I bet people want to see this. Put this on YouTube. Because his exposure to YouTube was when I was Jazz Fitness, the YouTube sensation Jazz Fitness. That was when I was, whenever I told you about the ripping of the pants. Or we call the ripping of the pants, you know, AD. But Jazz Fitness was a bad guy wrestler, so he was a, you know, he was a heel. He was a bad guy.
I saw him in a video.
Did you? Yes, me. But anyway, when Jazz Fitness,
I saw Jazz beat up a chicken. He had chicken for dinner.
He sure did. That wasn't just any chicken. That was Ernie the Chicken from Family Guy.
That's right.
But prior to me being prior to that, I was an actual wrestler. My son, you know, obviously didn't wrestle yet because he was, at that time, he was 10, actually, 10 or 11, I think, when we started. He was sick from school, like I said. So now that we have these two people, we figured out we could put it as demo. So we said, let's put it up on YouTube. People want to see this. I said, who would want to see a YouTube a video game thing on YouTube? I said to him. No one's going to want to see video game stuff on YouTube, I said. He goes, no, trust me. I think people are going to want to see Homer Simpson and Peter Griffin fight. I said, okay, fine. He goes, one of the things we do as a family, we like to have fun. So we're doing commentary, and we ended up putting that video up on YouTube, needless to say, because he wins.
Right.
Again, I'm supposed to make him happy. So the way it worked is he was a young guy. He's a kid, right? And I was the adult, and I'm the guy who came from wrestling.
Right.
So what do you know that one match, you know, people thought was hysterical. They thought it was the best thing they've ever thought. And what made it different is we didn't pick the winner. We didn't pick Peter Griffin or Homer Simpson. The system did. So
that was when
my son and I came up with the idea called Dream Matches. So Jazz and Sons, Dream Matches particularly, because he was my son and I'm Jazz. So it worked.
That's
actually how that originally started, was something accidental, something small that I didn't think was going to be anything big. Now he's, you know, my son's doing his own big things. He's currently doing an internship for NetherRealm Studios. I don't know if you know who that is. NetherRealm Studios makes Mortal Kombat. He's training under him right now, but so he's too busy doing that kind of stuff. So needless to say, when I knew he was going to be doing that as he got older, he started to do less and less, but he still does things. So needless to say, we're getting back to the Tyler Mayne and Robert Englund story. So knowing all that, my son and I decided that, you know, since we've been doing it since he was 11 or 10 or 11 years old on YouTube, that show, that idea, we have all of these people that we've built over the years in storylines, because that's where I come from and that's what I know about. And he and I together doing the show together, we made it, you know, work for a long time. Needless to say, I've been doing that show by myself for the last several long while. But I did have a couple of people there and there, like Jackson Ross Scott. I don't know if you ever heard of him. He was Georgie and It.
Mm-hmm.
It was on Lock and Key. He's also one of our biggest superstars on our show. I don't know if you knew that either, but needless to say, my son and I inducted Robert Englund, Kane Hodder, and Tyler Mayne into our first class of our Jazz and Sons Hall of Fame. This brings us back to the story where there is Robert giving Tyler Mayne a hard time about this is the only Hall of Fame you'll ever see. Because there is a wrestling Hall of Fame, and of course the awards and everything else. So Robert Englund was giving him a hard time. And that's why it was funny. And of course Danielle Harris, who was also in Halloween Rob Zombie, she was the sheriff's daughter. She was also young Jamie Lloyd in the original Halloween 4 and 5 as well. But she was a table over from Tyler Mayne
and she wants to know when she's going to go in the Hall of Fame. So that just kind of spiraled into now everyone wants to know when they're going in the Hall of Fame rapture at the show who we feature on our show. That's why I kind
right.
of had to tell that long story to get to where I was. So speaking of birthdays, and the moral of the story is everyone ended up signing a makeshift birthday card for my son because I wasn't able to be there and I felt bad about it. And everyone wanted to do something special for him. So everyone, celebrities and the other Muscle Mania staff and everyone actually took one of the pamphlets that had everyone's names there and everyone signed the thing for him. So it's kind of cool.
It's amazing. Aw, and that's a keepsake he'll have forever.
Amazing what something positive does for someone else, you know.
For sure. Absolutely. You never know. I mean, things are, you know, the videos that we put up there that we swear are just going to go crazy, and we don't make anything to go viral or to have a lot of views. We make it to entertain, and we hope someone embraces it. But the things that I say, oh, I think this is going to do good, half the time they don't.
It flops.
Right.
Right.
Especially because she's an oldie. She don't get it. She ain't get it. Like, what people like is people like a big mess, a.k.a. spilling beans on the table. She thinks that it's more... That's more of a comedic laugh, less physical laugh.
Yeah, if he had his way, he would have Mentos and Diet Coke all over the inside of my house.
Yes, I would.
And that's not happening. He wants to make
Mentos.
Gooey messes. Yeah. He wanted to splat something on my coffee table the other day that I had just, you know, cleaned and everything. You know, the house was finally... And if somebody knocked on the door, I didn't have to run and hide in the closet. And he brought something out that was disgusting. What was it? I can't remember what it was. And you were like, I'm going to smash it on the table and you're going to film it. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm like, no, you're not, son. So
it was.
He's more of the let's make something explode. I'm more of the, nope, tell a story, make them laugh.
Yeah, right.
You're fine.
I'm laughing at you guys.
Older,
you guys are great. That's great.
Yeah.
So that's funny because it kind of reminds me of the dynamic. When my son and I was doing commentary, because we did that for a long time, I would, you know, one point we try to educate people about classic wrestling. And he's a young kid, my son, so he doesn't know the wrestlers that I know, obviously. And he gives the kids a point of view where I give the, you know, my point of view, which is someone who's been around. So my son is very blunt about certain opinions. And needless to say, there's a wrestler who I grew up with who is one of the most monumental and influential wrestlers out of Japan called the Great Muda. The Great Muda was a guy from Japan, and he is the one who made he used to do the backflip handspring elbow thing. He used to spray green juice in people's faces. He used to paint his face, all kinds of favors. He was from very well-known wrestler from WCW, which was, you know, usually down south.
Sounds so familiar.
Yeah, he's well-known, you know, old-school wrestler. But my son doesn't know who the Great Muda is, so to him... And his quote, "Mood is trash." It was his thing. So
gotcha.
I had to prove. So needless to say, I had to educate my son on who the Great Muda was. So I said, "Okay, so since we have the YouTube show where we feature people we build, including my son, myself, and all these other people, including all these wrestling icons we build and whatever else, I had him and his team go up against the Great Muda and some of his teammates and people who." My son having his group are people like Yana Tintatakumpo and Stan Lee. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He's from Marvel. Luigi.
No, never
Luigi.
Heard of him.
Yeah,
never, right? Luigi from Super Mario Brothers, because Mario's he's a Luigi guy, not a Mario guy. And Star-Lord is in that, you know. His group's called the Awesome Ones because his name is Sean Awesome on everywhere because we won't give everyone else's, you know, that you got to protect them people, right? Elbow, elbow, wink, wink. Sean Awesome and his Awesome Ones. That's his group. But so I had to make sure that the great Muda and all these legends he's making fun of show his team how important, you know, that, you know, they're a real thing. Well, don't you know that, yeah, except for the fact that, you know, because our show, we don't control the outcomes, and whatever happens, happens, and we're calling the action. So, of course, as I'm on commentary and he's on commentary and here's the great Muda coming in against, I think it was Luigi, and he goes, oh, well, Luigi with the lasagna drop, and thanks for coming, trash Muda. So needless to say, my goal to show my son that Great Muda was actually a legend backfired because him and Luigi and Star-Lord and Stan Lee beat the whole other team. In all fairness, because we don't control everything and anything can happen at any point, I think, because the three ways to lose are pinfall, submissions, and knockouts. And Luigi basically hit him with one kick and knocked out the Great Muda. So this is something I still hear about to this day. And whenever I bring up,
I think we need a rematch. I think we need a rematch.
Yeah, really.
I think Muda had food poisoning that day. I think we need a new rematch.
You know what's fun is when I do the show now, I actually do a lot of the storylines because now it's pretty much what I have to do now. I actually just stepped back out of. I actually was offered a job for World Wrestling Entertainment again. The actual WWE. A couple of years ago, before the pandemic, I was working creative for WWE. Basically my job was to come up with the storylines and help the guys who they couldn't figure out what to do with, come up with characters for them. The actual WWE on television.
Yep. Okay.
Because of my background in pro wrestling of 20 plus years, I lost track now. So. That being said, I did that for a long time, and the guy that I was working with, they released him. And I didn't really like a lot of the things that they were changing on, the things that I would create, and they made him look like a fool, the guy I was trying to help, as well as myself, because they were, you know, whatever. Wouldn't you know that they were watching our YouTube show, because my son, you know, I kept the show alive, and I rebranded the show called Icons of the F4L Now. Where I actually feature real-life people who actually do real-life things. So back in the day, it was, you know, we took fan requests for matches people wanted to see. But we did that. Like, there's not many fights we haven't had. I said, but during 2020, which I'm very grateful for, I was forced to sit at home because I left WWE because my son was struggling in school, family first.
Right.
And to make sure he graduated from high school, I WWE to stay home with him, and I don't really love it. And I worked with him. I made sure he graduated high school, which he did, and I went and started this podcast because 2020 happened, and everything I originally planned went and didn't happen. So YouTube show, I continued. Sure. And because I was so moved by so many amazing people that normally not everyone might have heard of yet, I said, why don't I build these people and feature these people in these shows? Granted, not everyone is into wrestling. Not everyone's a wrestler. But if I bring these names out there, they'll become household names. So I started, reaching out to people using Instagram. And I said, I know this is going to sound interesting. At this point, people pretty much know who I am by now. I'm someone who gives positivity. I give 2 cents when I can. And I try to help other people and motivate them. When I'm not fighting against the trolls and people who are harassing people, which is ridiculous. But anyway, because I'm always a bully buster first.
Good.
So when I did Icons of the F4L, which I now have called it, I said I started reaching out to people, and I said, and people, like I just mentioned JoJo the Bodybuilder. He's an actual person on Instagram. And he's a person who was, you know, interested in fitness and stuff like that. And why not ask him if he wants to be a household name? Why not ask him to do that? So, of course, around this time I started this podcast because I was trying to have people complaining about all the negativity in the world. I said, there's a lot of good things in there. There are people out there who are awesome people. I'm going to bring these people on this show and introduce them to more people and also add them to my YouTube show to make them, you know, something. You know, I got to tell you, but again, I had doubts. Is this... I would probably end it like middle of this year, around summertime. I was honestly getting burnt out because I was doing the show by myself. I had, you know, someone who I had some people do commentary with me. You know what commentary is?
Sure. Yeah.
My son now no longer, you know, my son's doing his own thing. He's busy doing his thing. Once he does, you know, come in contact, and he does have, you know, whatever. And YouTube, according to YouTube, we are the originals of this format of these fantasy wrestling shows on YouTube. We're the originals versus all these other people who try to do what we do. So I guess that's
right.
Something.
That's amazing.
Which,
yeah.
You know, what's sad is that, you know, we always have to clear everyone. I always feel bad about that. I never doubt anybody. I never, like, stop anyone on YouTube for doing the things that we do. I would not,
right.
I wouldn't, like, take someone else's fun away. Because I enjoy doing it because I do it with my son for a long time. But then I realized, my son said, why don't you have some of these people do that with you? I said, that's a good idea. So I had Jackson R. Scott did a commentary with me for a couple. And I had another person who did commentary with me for a little while. And the difference was doing commentary is one thing, but booking the whole show is something different because that's what I did.
Right.
And that's what I did together. And that's honestly why I'm still friends with a lot of these people, because they still helped out. My son and I are right now planning for the 2023 Jazz and Sons Hall of Fame. But, you know, I was curious. Have you guys ever seen any of the stuff on YouTube? Any of the Dream Masters ones? You mentioned Jazz Fitness and Ernie the Chicken, right?
Yeah, we actually watched a video. And I'm not sure which one it was. Daryl fighting Jax.
Oh, my favorite.
And I loved that. Because, spoiler alert for anybody that's listening, Jax and Daryl are fighting. Jax wins the fight, and then here comes Freddy Krueger. And I
love my God.
It.
You want me to tell you why that was awesome?
So entertaining.
Let me tell you why that was awesome. There was two things that made that awesome. One was the fact that I got to do that with my son and my cousin at the time, who was just starting out. He did a guest commentary with us. Because that was when we were doing the show heavy. But that's kind of an example of when we say we have no control over anything that happens, we have no control.
Right.
We never know what's going to happen. I did know that Freddie had that briefcase, but I never saw someone actually cash in the briefcase during a live show.
Okay.
And it was a live show.
Okay.
And everything you heard is legit what happened. That's how our shows work. That's how random they are, and that's the most unpredictable things that happen. So
that's
the
awesome.
Responses you heard are legit responses from what happened. Because I'm like, what the hell? Because we never even thought that was even a thing yet. Pardon the hell, by the way.
Right.
But we never even thought that was even a thing, that someone could just cash it in without us knowing.
I love that. I love that. He took the belt. It was amazing. I loved it.
He won, after all of that.
Because
let me tell you, the story build-up was, you know, Jax Teller and Daryl Dixon had this long rivalry. And finally, Jax Teller gets his big win, his first title ever. And here comes Ronald England. Freddie comes down there out of nowhere and just ruins his day. So that's awesome. And just the reactions are legit. And that's kind of what made the show awesome. So
I'm sick and twisted. I'm always going to root for Freddy Krueger in pretty much any situation. I'm just telling you now.
Yeah, he's our Hall of Famer.
I'm all in.
So, you know what's funny is this is the difference between me and a lot of other people, and this is something he got a kick out of it. When I was younger, I wrote a paper, I think it was in middle school, about, you know, how sometimes people can be misunderstood, and sometimes you might not know anything about the person, but I believe that anyone could be good at any point. No matter how nasty someone is believed to be, anyone could be helped.
Right.
Anyone could be good. So doing that, I used Freddy Krueger and Jason Voorhees as examples. Because this is a research thing I did. So I had to put it all in paper. I said, listen, Freddy Krueger, you know, if you know the histories of either of these characters, Freddy Krueger's backstory, if you know that story, you know how he was tormented by all of his things, all the things he had to endure. But I said, what if someone was there for him? What if someone protected him? What if, even though at home all these nasty people were there, what if he had an actual person who was empathetic to his situation? What if he had someone that didn't treat him like a jerk? Would he be as bad as he was? And Jason Voorhees is probably the easiest one ever. What if someone just jumped in the water and saved Jason from drowning instead of letting him drown and doing what they were supposed to do? Would Jason have been as bad as he was? So then, even if he did come back, would he be as nasty as he was? I mean, the reason he came back is because they killed his mother. Why did his mother kill everybody? Right. Spoiler alert, by the way, that again, that movie was from 1980. And by this point, if you don't know who Kane Hodder or Jason Voorhees or Friday the 13th is by now, you know, I think the spoiler alert thing goes out, has been canceled. So that being said, the fact, would his mother have been so angry if someone did their job? I got to tell you, as a parent, I can, not to say that I would go to that extent. Well, then again, I'm not going to say that. That's one of those things that my wife and I look at each other like, we can actually understand that to a point. We can understand her frustration or anger. But in the same sense, what if that never happened? What if someone did their job, saved Jason from drowning? Would she have been angry in the first place? Would he be this villainous monster? So I did this, you know, research paper, and then ended up doing it as a short story form. I said, well, this is the redemption of Fred and Jay, because I could call them Freddy and Jason because copyrights in 1991 when I wrote it. So here I am, made them good guys, Kid Freddy Krueger and Jason Voorhees, and explained why they were good. And sure enough, that's what it came down to. And that's honestly what I believe. I believe anyone can be good at any point. Freddy and Jason on our shows were good guys. On our show, The Horror Connection are actually fan favorites. And The Horror Connection was our first faction. So it was Freddy, which is Robert Englund, Kane Hodder as Jason Voorhees, and Tyler Mane as Michael Myers. That's The Horror Connection. There's three of them. Because that's all you need. Who else do you need? Granted, there were other people who want to try, and there were others that tried. So there you go.
I go for class. I think the same argument can be on the other side. Because there are good people who one thing is the catalyst to turn them bad as well. You know,
That's true too.
How do you keep yourself from being that person in a person's life other than trying to be kind all the time?
Right.
You know.
That's true too.
Don't be the jumping board for disaster. I'm probably wording it wrong, but there is a meme in there somewhere.
We'll make it a meme if it's not a meme yet. That's very meany.
We'll make a meme. That's right. Yeah, I think we all want a connection. I think some people are wired to find that in a detrimental way, unfortunately, by the way they were raised. But I think we all want a human connection. And some people just don't know how to receive it, and it can turn them the wrong way or the right way. It just depends on, you know, a lot of factors. But I know Criminal Minds is one of our favorite shows, and they always say, what was the stressor? What was the stressor on the suspect? What
McDonald
took him
likes
from,
the SBU.
What took him from being just, you know, a mad, angry individual to, you know, hiding people underground in a basement, you know?
Right,
What was that catalyst? It's like his wife died. Jesus,
right.
Well, you know.
A lot of that happens a lot. That doesn't mean.
A serial killer?
Right.
Lots of wives died.
There's definitely a way of coping.
I'm sure it was something else. Right. It's kind of silly. But I saw. Life is fragile in so many ways, you know. Today you work at McDonald's, tomorrow, you know, you shoot up a Walmart. I mean, it's crazy the way that people act nowadays, and that's why people like you that are entertaining, let's say wrestling is not the number one sport in the United States.
No, definitely
not. But it's very entertaining. Yeah. It's very entertaining, and the people that like it, like me, I like NASCAR. I get made fun of because
NASCAR.
I ride over NASCAR.
Oh, gosh. Don't even tell that story.
NASCAR was not open because of COVID, and she was bawling.
Well, we live in South Carolina, right up the road from Darlington Raceway, which has the Southern 500 every year. Every year every year since I can remember, I have been in the infield camping and watching NASCAR, which Denny Hamlin, number 11. Go, Denny. So COVID comes around, and NASCAR actually called me because I was one of the longtime people going there. And his name was Corey, and he says, Corey, this is Corey from NASCAR, and I want you to know that we're going to announce this week that we are canceling the camping, but we wanted to call our regulars to let them know personally, and we're so sorry. And I kept this poor guy on the phone for 45 minutes crying begging. I was like, please. I was like, if nobody else is going to be there, why can't I be there?
That's awesome. Oh, man.
Oh, that's not all, darling. That's not all. Then my silly butt, now that I look back on it, realize how crazy I was. I got in my car and went down the Darlington Raceway and beat on the door and tried to get someone to come to the door so that I could discuss my plight to them and tell them, you know, I have to camp this year. This is the first year I'm single. I'm going to be cooking out by myself. My son with me. I had this whole plan.
Oh,
did
man.
Nothing.
And yeah,
I have
say,
not
that
been
work.
Race since. I didn't
oh, man.
It was not happening. COVID was more important than my little self getting to the race. So I was hurt over that.
Yeah.
And next year, Corey called me and asked if I was coming back or was the year after. And I said, nope. I said, I'm traumatized. I can't do it. And I haven't been back.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
I watched it on TV. But
did you guys turn the TV up really loud during that one segment where they go around the track?
Yeah. No.
I know. No, you don't do that? Oh, you're lucky.
No. I just watch it from home and just you know, I just sit there and eat and watch. But for someone like me, NASCAR, that's a big deal. And for someone who likes wrestling, you're providing such a great entertainment for them and a way to enjoy something that they really are into, you know, and that's important. That's spreading love and joy. That's not, you know, writing a blog about some wrestler and the problems he's having in his marriage, you know.
Right.
Something like
no,
that.
Exactly. But, you know, I make films and television, stuff like that as well. So, I mean, I'm pretty well rounded.
Yeah.
I think that it's important to, you know, give people avenues and give something. See, whenever I put out a project, whenever I work on something, I put everything into it. And I also make it a team effort, not an easy thing. So it's not my movie, it's our movie. You know what I mean? And every project I've worked on or every project I've done, I've always felt grateful to anyone who's ever been part of any of my projects because, like, for example, when I'm doing a casting call for a film that I wrote that people want to be a part of, and one of the things I'm gifted with is the ability to see talent when some people buy it not. And that's one of the reasons why I'm one of the leading people in the area. When someone needs someone, needs a role filled or whatever, they'll usually ask me because I see – I mean, social media is great for that, too. I get all kinds of amazing people that I have seen and be amazing and doing all kinds of things that, sadly, not everyone might not know of. And one of the things I like to do is give those people those chances. And when people come and audition for my films, and it's happened many, many times, and people come from all over. Like, I'm in New England, and people have come all the way up from Florida to be part of our films. In Texas. And I'm like, they've come down from Canada to be part of our production. So, you know, to be in a, my little, you know, our film, and I always got such a, you know, I felt such respect from that, from those people. A lot of the times I would, when I'm doing casting, because I always record all the casting calls anyway, all the auditions, a lot of the times I will usually write in a scene, because I'm usually wrote most of the projects anyway. So if there is someone who has something different to offer and they have that something, I will literally invent a scene to have those people booked on our my film. So let's say someone comes up. So even if someone auditions for a role, and it might not be the role, I might not say, well, maybe that person's not right for this particular part, but I think they're amazing. And the fact that they took time to come here out of their time and schedule to be part of this, I'm going to reward them by offering them this. Do they always take it? No. Well, let's put it this way. We always give them the option whether they want to take it or not. And I think one of the things that they've learned is that, you know, don't say no, because it's always offered something. And it, I was absolutely floored in most in the Good Old Boy, when I made the Good Old Boy. I was floored by every time we needed extras, the same people would be the first ones. I'm there. We love it because they love being on our set, because how I run my sets. It's a family atmosphere on our sets. It's laid back. It's relaxing. Because I feel like it creates an environment that is, one, welcoming. So you always work better. I find that you work better with people who, number one, you have trust in, you have chemistry with. And, you know, being someone who also does a lot of film critic stuff, I do a lot of reviews and things like that. And I don't do them to be negative. I don't, you know, I don't like to, you know, necessarily shoot down a filmmaker or stuff like that. But I will call to question certain things, because I think they need constructive criticism. The only way we can get better is by constructive criticism.
Absolutely.
So that's why I say, you know, this is good, but, or if it's a, like when people used to come up and say, I like this film, I'll say, no, you don't. Go back there and get another movie. When I was working in the video store, like someone would come up and say, hey, I want to rent this movie. I'm like, oh, no, you don't. Go back out there and get this one instead.
Yeah.
At first, people were like, well, why would you do that? You're going to force them away. I said, no, but that earns, they know that I'm looking out for them. They know that I'm genuine. They know that I don't want them to lose their hard-earned money on a movie that I know was bad. What kind of a person would I be if I knew that movie was bad? Why would I have them spend their money on that? And that's one of the reasons why, to this day, if I walk down the area where that Blockbuster has been closed for what? I don't even know how long ago the Blockbuster closed. I'm still known as a Blockbuster guy. I'm still invited to high school graduations for people who used to come in as kids skating around on those, what are they called, Heelys? Remember the Heelys? They were a thing in the day. So they used to come in that. Now here they are, years later. I'm either training them in their wrestling squads or speaking at their high school graduations things now. And, you know, just amazing to have that impact and whatnot. So here's my question. So, Jack, have you ever done any YouTube?
Actually, yes. And it was actually a really big flop.
Well, he has 101 subscribers.
Yes.
Oh,
but
cool.
His thing is, I do not know how to get started. I do not know how to get started. And when I say started, I mean I just want to lay down and take a nap.
Overwhelming.
That's funny.
Overwhelming.
It is overwhelming, huh? Yeah.
We posted some of our Instagram videos on YouTube, and he did one video about jitter clicking, and things like that. We do have a lot of footage of him gaming.
Yes.
We just don't know how to transfer it to the YouTube area.
The thing that I need is that I need a PC, because A, I need to look like a pro professional gamer. B,
you think so?
Just for the fun of it. And C, because I need Java Edition. Minecraft.
Yeah, we had an incident, and he was supposed to get I was getting him a gaming computer for Christmas. That was going to be his big gift. And unfortunately, we can't do that now.
Yeah,
so
we're gonna
have to wait. We're gonna have to wait till after the first of the year, maybe tax time.
well, what if you didn't need a gaming computer to be a YouTuber?
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
What if you were, say, to work on a show and learn how to book a show on YouTube?
Huh?
I'm here. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you can hear you. Just in
Hi,
talk.
I'm Earth. Have we been here?
Yeah, we're here. We're here.
Okay, cool. So what I was asking is, so you say you want to be a YouTuber and you kind of want to get started. Yeah. See, you know what? I didn't know what I was doing on YouTube either. And technically, Jazz Fitness didn't either, because technically those were put up by the wrestling company where Jazz Fitness came from. I didn't put those up.
Yeah.
But Jazz and Sons Dream Masters, I did that. And I also have been doing that since. And now I have icons of the F4L. But you know what I don't have anymore?
Huh?
I don't have anyone to do the show with me anymore. So seeing how you want to learn how to do YouTube and be YouTube friendly and so forth, and seeing how you definitely have a personality and you love to talk, what if I was to bring you on Icons of the FRL as my commentator with me?
What would you say? He can't see you. You've got to talk to him.
He's just like,
I wish you could see him right now. Yeah, well, tell him, what do you think?
Thank you.
What do you think?
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you have a game system right now?
Yes, I do. I have an Xbox One. I have a Nintendo.
And a Switch.
And then I have a Nintendo 6, I think they're called.
What? No, a Nintendo
So you don't have a PS4 as of yet, right?
He does not have a PS4.
Yeah, I hate
That's PS4. Okay. I'll work this.
He doesn't hate PS. I'm just kidding. He does not.
It's okay.
He had a PS4 Pro, and it got stolen.
Yeah.
Our house got broken, too.
Yeah.
All right. So what's funny is the last person, the only other, my son, see, it's different when my son's here because he's, you know, nearby. But I found out that I can actually pull this show off using various things like Zoom and communications and so forth. So I actually talked to my son about this already, and he thinks it would be a good idea, too. Plus, because my son actually, as much as he likes to give crappy things, you might give me a more fun. You might be someone who might bring it to another level. So that's a compliment from him, by the way. So he wants to pass the torch to you. I said, so what? Okay, so you're going to throw him under the bus. I'm just kidding. To you, I'm saying I'm just kidding. To him, I'm giving him a hard time because that's what I do to my son. That's what we do. But
that's the kind of
banter we have on our, you know, when we do things. So let me just tell you how this would work. Just break it down for you. So the way I kind of do it is right now I have 3 shows a month because I'm going to tell you what my original plan was. My original plan was to legitimately be the alternate to the alternate of wrestling. What that means is I know that right now the wrestling on television, none of it is really all that great. I know that because I'm not working for them anymore. But they still watch our show, and WWE still, you know, looks after me, and they still let's just say I have special permission. Let's put it that way. I can pretty much do pretty much a lot without getting in trouble. So that being said, the way this works is what I'm going to do is if you're up for it, I'm going to teach you how to book a show, how to, you know, put together a wrestling card, and then we'll, in between shows, because there's going to be 3 shows a month, because originally my plan was to go and literally be the alternate to the alternate. So when they're on, my original plan was when there's wrestling on television, I'm going to be on YouTube, giving them an alternate to their television. And at least people would actually be entertained by my YouTube, because we do a better show than they do. And I know that to be the case because I still get all the emails and stuff like that to people who are actually moved by the things on our show. And that's one of the things I'm very proud about. A lot of our you know, our your roster are people who are like yourself, real life people who are doing things and creating memories and going after the goals and dreams and whatever. These are the people I like to feature. Granted, I put them against people like, you know, for example, holidays are coming up, and I know that the bodybuilder guy today that he's going to be facing me, I'm going to be dating myself, but Bumble, if you know who Bumble is, December is coming up.
Right.
So seeing how December is holiday and all, Christmas and all, we have to have some Christmas flair there. So the bodybuilder for the first time ever is going to face Bumble, which is the abominable snowman from Rudolph. That's how random my show
is. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, my son actually at one point told me I'm not allowed to build anyone after a certain time at night because I'm very creative and sometimes my creativity gets the best of me. When it comes to building people and things, I'm good at that. And as far as booking a show, I'm good at that. But what I actually lack is just someone to banter things off of and also someone who can keep up with me as far as talking things. So let me tell you, try to call a match with like four tag teams in a ladder match. When you're by yourself, it's a lot of work. But I'm thinking, you know, what if, since you have energy, you said, I can hear your energy. You're the very talkative individual. I can hear it there. And since you have that personality, I think it would be good. And you have that thing we have in wrestling we like to call charisma. Do you know what that is?
No, I do not.
Awesome.
He does not.
Well, he does not. Well, let me tell you what charisma is. Charisma is something that can't be taught. Charisma is just a natural, entertaining personality, something that resonates with just you.
Yeah.
So let's say for the sake of argument, you have a magnetic personality. You have a personality that is theatrical, if you would. You have charisma. I'm trying to think of an example. All right, for example, charisma is just, you don't try to be something. The camera automatically knows you're entertaining. You don't have to necessarily work yourself up to be an entertainer. You're just naturally entertaining. That's charisma.
Yeah.
Charisma is also the ability to, you know, the camera. You have no fear of the camera. You have no fear of looking like a fool on things. You just have that ability to reach people, reach an audience of very minimal things. Charisma
is like when you walked into a Taco Bell dressed as a taco and said you were there to liberate your people and started ordering a bunch of tacos.
Okay. That video.
That's
yes.
what he's talking about. You're not afraid.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That is charisma. That is something you have. But also the ability just to be able, not everyone has charisma. You can teach someone how to talk. You can teach someone how to act. You can teach someone how to read. You can't teach someone how to have a personality and how to be genuine. And something that I am good at is noticing genuineness and seeing charisma. That's one of my strong points. And, you know, I think you would be awesome at it. And since you say you want to be a YouTuber, I say, you know what? I bet I could help you with that. Like I said, the way it would work is, right now I'm doing the three shows a month because, you know, I can't do the whole every single time there's wrestling on. Wrestling's on almost every day of the week now. So the days are the 4th, the 14th, and the 24th. And why? Mm-hmm. Because I'm F4L. And fours are a lucky number for people in the F4L. So that's something you'll learn as time goes on. So everything's done in fours. So the 4th, the 14th, and the 24th of every month, I plan on doing a show. I'm going to be doing a show. But up until recently, I have been doing them all by myself. I had a co-host in the past. And, you know, they go on to do bigger and better things sometimes. And sometimes they, you know, and I'm happy for them. But I need someone that can, you know, fill those big shoes and someone that, you know, is – number one, wants to do it and likes to have fun. And part of the job is having fun and also being able to think outside the box. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to teach you how to book the show, which is, you know, come up with the matches. I'm going to send you a list of people who we currently have, a roster, if you would. And then the thing is, it's not my thing. It will be our thing. And together we're going to rebuild. Now, this is, you know, since December is coming, the 4th is coming up pretty soon. I don't know if it's going to be, that might be too early for you to start, but what I can do is if you agree to it, and if you accept this mission, Mr. Bond, should you choose to accept it,
okay,
I will bring you on and I will send you the things you need, which is a booking sheet, which basically has, it's a blank, basically it's a blank card that I use to write out the thing because I'm old school and I write everything out. But you can do the same. I'm going to give you a thing of the current roster. And then if you want to think of some ideas for some other people you could add or things you could add, because, I mean, remember, I built Pizza the Hut this year, and I thought it was the greatest thing in the world. Of course, I'm quoting Spaceballs, if you know that movie.
Right.
Spaceballs.
I don't think he's seen Spaceballs yet. Yeah. Yeah. Laps in parenting. I know. Laps in parenting.
That's okay. At least you got to see that we're on Elm Street, so we're in the right frame of mind, though. That was good. No, so that should be awesome. So the way this will work is, you know, I'm gonna send you who I have, and then you're gonna come up with some ideas. We'll bounce things off of each other, and together we can do that. And we'll basically become you'll be bringing you on board, and you can let me know. You know, you don't have to think now. I mean, unless you don't want to be a YouTuber, that's fine too. Or, you know, have your voice heard by a global audience of people. And, you know, have fun. I guess I can not let you do that. If you don't want to do that, I guess you don't have to.
I do want to be a YouTuber.
Well, this is your start. So how are you going to feel about calling a match, let's say, when it's, say, I don't know, Justin Bieber versus ex-in Robert Scott or Freddie Krueger? Well, Freddie Krueger's retired now. So let's see. I don't know. If you were to call a match between Justin Bieber and, say, Eminem, we'll go with.
Oh, what are you going to do? You know Eminem's your favorite rapper.
Yeah.
So basically, all you have to do is be you on the show. I think you're naturally funny. I think you're naturally like to have fun. So I think, you know, on our show, and same thing here, is on the F4L, we always encourage people to be themselves. And being F4L means we treat each other with love, care, and compassion, understanding, and respect for each other's differences. We might not like the same kind of music or the same people in the ring, but that doesn't mean that we don't respect each other. And for example, we might have Taylor Swift in the ring, and I might have Lizzie Hale in the ring. You might like country, and I might like rock. It works the same. You dig?
Right.
So
what
I'm willing, so I guess that's where I am. Would you be interested in learning with that?
I said he's speechless. I've never seen Jack speechless. I don't know what to do. Okay, what do you think?
Yeah.
Don't do that. Yeah. Don't throw things in my house. What do you think? Oh, he's crying. Oh, don't cry. Don't cry. Happy.
No,
happy.
Eye itches.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. That's what it is.
My son does the same thing, and that's fine. No, pretty cool. So what I'm going to do is that's awesome. Well, welcome, I guess, to the team, I guess. So this is how it works. So I'm going to send you what you need. Like I said, I explained most of it. And December's coming. I still have a show.
Yeah.
Coming up on the 24th, which I got to do it myself right now because no one knows yet because we're going to announce it huge. It's going to be a big thing. But so what we're going to do is, you know what Zoom is?
Huh?
Well, actually, Instagram Live, I think, is a thing too, right? Isn't Instagram Live a thing?
Yes.
I forgot about Instagram Live. My wife said hello, by the way. My wife just came home from work. Isn't it lovely?
Hello.
And she said, smart man, by the way. And my son said, good luck. Giving you a hot time. Anyway, I guess you're included in the group now. Anyway, so what we could do is probably make, you know, obviously everyone listens to the show anyway, so anyone listening to the show already knows you're already going to be coming on the commentary. But, you know, it sometimes can get, you know, tedious sometimes, but of course that might be just because I'm mostly doing it myself for the most part. But for me, it's fun because I like to think outside the box and I like to be creative. I think you like to be creative, which is why I think you'll be good for this. I think you'll be good at coming up with some ideas. In a lot of this, some of this is storylines because, you know, some stories have to be, you know, make sense and whatever. And I like to do that. So 2023, which is next year, as you know, and 2023, we like to separate our shows by years. That's our seasons.
Okay.
Next year, the next software will be coming out for WE2K22. That's what I use to build everybody. And I use that to build to make the show, actually, for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So the way we'll work it is kind of like what I did before, where I'm going to build them out. You know, we'll together work on creativity. You have an Xbox, you said?
Yeah, I have Xbox One.
I got you. You know, technically, I think that game is cross-compatible, but we'll see about that. I have to look into that. But anywho, what's awesome about this particular model, the game last year, because let me tell you, one of the other things that makes the show interesting is the glitches that my son absolutely died at. Half the time when the glitches would happen, he would absolutely lose it on set. And that's perfectly fine because it's normal. When a referee starts floating in the middle of the audience, someone has to point it out. And it was usually my son who would be on the floor rolling around that people could only hear him laughing at the referee who's floating in the middle of the sky. We're supposed to be counting someone out or, you know, other random technical glitches that would happen with the old game. I can say that the newer software is a little bit more stable, but not saying that things can't happen. But what makes this good is with the new software, it's cross compatible. Where if I build someone or people, the wrestlers, we call them Claws, by the way, created wrestlers. You can actually download them on Xbox, just like you can build people, and I can download them on PlayStation. Get it?
That's cool.
Because you like to think outside the box, we can come together. We can build a roster for 2023. But you know, obviously, you'll be on the show before that. I'm thinking, what do you think? When do you think you want to have your first crack at calling the show? I just want to make sure I have time to send. I can send you stuff.
Do you want December? Do you want to wait till 2023? If you wait till 2023, I can get you a PlayStation. But if you think that you can cross do it, then he can start in December, right?
Yeah.
Do you want to start calling?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, fours are lucky numbers, but what if?
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's see. How about the 14th
Ooh.
Of December?
December 14th?
The reason being is because, though, I'm going to tell you why the reason why the 14th and not the 4th. Because I already know the main event because I said it at the show that I was at over the last weekend. They had a Q&A and all that stuff. And I told the cast of Terrifier 2 what the main event was going to be. And I don't think you'll enjoy the main event for that one because it's Elliot, the little punk rocker, Elliot Fulham, and the girl who is his sister in the movie Terrifier 2, Lauren Lavera, I believe her name is. But the main event is a mixed tag team match. So it's brother and sister versus Art the Clown and the little pale girl Emily. That's our main event for the 4th. Because it's the main event features clowns, I don't know if you're going to like that one too much.
I don't know. But that would give you a chance to watch on the 4th, too, and see everything. That'd
Correct.
Be great.
Correct. Well, I'm going to send you everything before. I'm going to be sending you that stuff before. The other thing about it is this is the important part, is communication is key.
Sure.
And so what that means is, Obviously, I you can contact me whenever. You know where how to find me. I'm not hard to find. I'm 6 feet tall and I'm 265 pounds. It's hard to miss me.
Sure.
Needless to say, we're going to get contact information and we're going to keep in contact. You have ideas. I want to hear them and we'll have open conversations about everything. Before the show that you're going to be booking, we'll pick a day that's good for you to talk about, you know, what we want to build as far as the show goes. I built an awesome holiday arena that looks amazing. I'm going to send you pictures of it, and I'm going to send you the roster again so you'll know everyone who we have currently. And if you have ideas, let me know. And go from there. And so just so you know, the end of so the 24th, which is this month, is the end of our tournament we're currently doing. One of our things about our show is we still are kind of old school. We honor traditional. We have tournaments that we still do. Like now we just did our team warfare tournament where we have teams of four go against teams of four in elimination tag matches. Mm-hmm. And then the people who survive in that go into a melee, which is happening on the 24th. The winner of that is the ultimate, you know, survivor and winner or whatever. And they get a chance of facing the whatever the thing. See, these are the storylines. This is where that comes from. But we have that tournament. Right. We have an MMA tournament in April, which we started last year. We have a tag team tournament, which is open. So pretty much any tag team and duo you can think of, that happens in the summer. I mean, that's where Beavis and Butthead do their best work, man. I'll tell you. Beavis and Butthead, Ren and Stimpy, I'll tell you.
Right.
So when I tell you how random, see, the reason why people like that exist is because we have actual people who we actually, you know, think are awesome. So they need someone to face. But why make it, why not have something fun that people can enjoy? Actually, I'm going to tell you, here's a spoiler alert. I just built two legendary Muppets I just added to the roster. You'll see them on. Actually, you'll see them probably this weekend. The two.
Love it.
Do you guys watch Muppets, by the way? Are you guys Muppet fans?
Yes, of course.
If I was going to say I built two Muppets who people love to hate, who would you think I would build?
The old guy.
Yeah. Oh, my. Right on the head. First shot. Good for you. Good for you.
We're Muppets.
Good for you. Out of nowhere. That's good. Yeah, needless to say, Statler and Waldorf will be making their, in-ring return because they were on the show way back in the day, too. But they're coming back. Spoiler alert.
Awesome.
They'll be making their return soon. So you'll probably be calling a match with Statler and Waldorf eventually. They're a tag team, obviously.
That's so great.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to be sending you, like everyone we have currently, via email or whatever is easiest. And then I think it's important to have, once in a while we'll, have a conversation. We'll talk about what the show is. I'm going to email you what's called a booking sheet, which is a set of matches. It's a blank card, basically. I do encourage you to make photocopies of that so it makes your life easier. I do front and back of paper because I'm notoriously for writing something, and I'm a little bit of a perfectionist, so if I start writing something, I don't like something, I'll immediately stop, turning it over, and start writing it again. That's what I do. So.
I gotcha.
I'm going to send you that as well as what's called a blank roster sheet. And then when I send you the list of people, just fill that in, and there's always going to be blanks. What I want you to do in that meantime, is come up with some ideas, and let's hear them. Obviously, I have to build you, too. That means I have to build you, too,
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you ever been in a wrestling match? So that being said, I need you to help me develop you as well. So I need to build you as well, so that's always fun.
Yeah. He loves it, though. He loves it. Look at his face. Amazing. Yep, super excited.
Yeah, so this is going to be fun. So I guess that's an easy thing, I guess. So I do like to make some people's dreams happen. I like to help people out. So And again, I felt, you know, bad about your situation, and we've all been there where, you know, things like that happen. But the only thing you can do about those things is make a positive statement. And sometimes people can do the bare minimum, and then there's people can go and do something else. So clearly I couldn't easily just come on this podcast tonight, you know, and said, you know what, these people, Jack Tyler Adams and his mother, is two of the most fantastic people ever. They're really funny, awesome people. And, you know, you guys should pay attention to them. Or I can have you on the show and introduce you to the world. And then since I know Jack wants to be a YouTuber, because I heard him say that in this interview, why don't I just make him a YouTuber?
I've already been
part of YouTube. And then teach him how to book a wrestling show like they do on television, because that's what I do. And I run the shows like you'd see. The shows are done like you would see on television. And the part of it is not acting per se. It's not acting. It's just kind of telling the story of what's going on in the ring to the audience and bringing that something different in a creative way. You know what I mean? And we'll go over that.
Sure. Entertaining. And, yeah.
This is going to be entertaining and it's going to be fun. I think it's a great also way for you to be creative. To work on your creativity, work on story writing, keep you focused, and keep you from, you know, messing up your mother's coffee table. We can build. We can actually build a. We can build a ring made of your mother's coffee table, maybe, and do that maybe. But I don't suggest messing up. You know, while you're going to be too busy booking this wrestling show, working the show with me to, you know, splash paint on the thing or make gack or whatever.
That's right. Right.
So,
thank you.
So you think that, no worries, man. And, so again, the biggest thing is just communication, right? So, I mean, obviously I'm me and you know how to get a hold of me. And as long as you're good with it, you know, we can, you know, make a specific day if you want. We can chat for a bit and, you know, and go from there. Does that sound good?
Yes.
I know, right?
Yeah, he's jumping up and down. Get over here. Oh, he's running around the house. I'm so excited. Yeah. I think it's going to be a wonderful opportunity, and I can't thank you enough, and I'll make sure that, you know, he does everything he needs to do and let him fly.
You know, Tracy, you know we also have to go along with our Dream Masters. That's what we call our male superstars, by the way, is Dream Masters. We have the Dream Warriors. Did you know that?
No.
My son and I said a long time ago, my son believes that, well, we both believe that, you know, sometimes there's those people out there that, you know, sometimes there's just as many tough women out there as there are men, right?
Right.
So, you know, people didn't just want to see, you know, because when we're taking fam suggestions, a lot of people were, you know, RoboCop versus whatever and, you know, all these other things. But my son and I said, you know, what about the women out there? What about the tough Dream Warriors, the women out there who people want to see fight? Like Wonder Woman and Captain Marvel. Would never happen, right? We were there. We were the answers for that. We did those things. And we used to call our women's division the Women Warriors of Wrestling with a hyphenated W-O-W. But then this year I decided, you know, since we call our male wrestlers Dream Masters, and honoring the whole Warriors thing, because I believe women can be just as tough as men, why not have the Dream Warriors for the women? So, you know, maybe what we'll have to do is, you know, we always need new women to have superstars on our show. So what do you think about being a wrestler on our show?
I'm in a heartbeat. Are you kidding me? I'm in.
So
you
know,
we're gonna have to say no more. Sign
so
me
are
up.
You, so you're gonna be okay with me and Jack calling action, and you're gonna be in the action. Okay, cool.
Hey,
just making sure.
I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm all in.
Oh, don't do it.
I'm all in. Absolutely.
Not
that Kool-Aid. I'm in a heartbeat. Yeah.
So, okay, awesome. So
I'm bringing my coffee table. I'm smashing somebody. It's on.
We have coffee tables. We have tables in the ring, so, you know, that's this is something that happens. And again, the shows, you know, just to, you know, be clear, so we can obviously book the shows and the matches or whatever. Just remember the biggest thing is, one of the things, it will be nice having someone else on the show to say it for a change other than me all the time, is we don't have any control over the outcomes of anything. And
right.
The reaction you heard in that Freddy Krueger match, where Freddy Krueger kind of crashed the party. And poor Jax,
right.
By the way, spoiler, Jax Teller never got a title again.
No.
That was his one opportunity, his one win, and he never got a title again. And, obviously in our, when we have what I call creative meetings, that's what we call them when we talk about shows.
Sure.
So that's
sure.
What we're going to call these creative meetings, which, you know, Jack and Jazz. Oh, my goodness, Jack and Jazz.
Oh, interesting. That's good.
Jack and Jazz.
Yeah.
J&J.
Yeah.
J&J Entertainment.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Icons
like that.
Of the J. Okay. Anyway. So this will be awesome. So. Let me.
Yeah, they're already turning. It's going to be up all night.
Oh, yeah? Well, it's up.
Yeah,
put your pen and paper. That's what I say.
That's right.
What I might suggest is, since I think you might know my show. So what I might suggest is going back and, watching some of the other stuff. So you can have an idea
sure.
of kind of what how the show works and who we have. Actually, if you watch the show, you kind of figure out who's on our roster, too.
Right.
And also, we've had some amazing people, and whatnot, and you guys are amazing people, and we like to make people, we like to reward people for their hard work and dedication. And, you guys are always making other people happy and so forth, and so do I. So why not work together to make everyone happy, including make Jack happy by making him a YouTuber?
That's right. That's right.
And also, by doing that, he'll also learn how to, format a wrestling show, which they do in WWE and stuff like that. So that's information
that's a huge opportunity.
People,
absolutely.
Oh, I would think so. People like
yeah.
it. And, again, conversation, it's always good to have that communication. So as long as Jack can deal with talking to the icon, we're good to go.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. What
so.
We gonna say, Jackie, ever since the little way?
Ever since, even before I could talk, I wanted to be a YouTuber.
Yeah.
And I never really took that seriously until I actually took it seriously. And it's just wow.
Yeah. See, when you finally decided to buckle down, look, God put Jazz in your path, and the rest is history.
It feels like it was overnight, but then when you really think about it, I worked for this.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
7 years in the making.
Yeah.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Sure. And it came out of a bad situation.
Yeah.
Because if we hadn't have been scammed by that guy, we might have never talked to Jazz.
Yeah.
Right? So, actually, that was a good thing. Like Garth Brooks says, everything is a blessing and a curse.
I'm not listening to Garth Brooks.
I love Garth Brooks. That's my husband. I don't care about Trisha. Care if she's got the ring. That's my husband.
Then I wouldn't watch the match we had where we had all. Oh, wow. 90 seconds. Awesome. Anyway, that was my 90-second call that I guess we're running out of time here. But, before we let you guys go, I know, right? 2 hours flies by. So before we let you guys go, you want to tell people where they can find you guys and whatnot and, other things you guys are doing real quick before we let you guys go?
Sure. We are on Instagram under Jack Tyler Adams.
Uh-huh.
We're on YouTube under Jack Tyler Adams.
Yeah, and mommy.
And our Facebook is actually under Tracy Adams, but you'll see a picture there. Of Jack, so you'll know that. Let's see. Anything else? Am I missing anything, Jack? That's really it.
All right.
Jack is going to be the new commentator with Jazz, and we're super excited, we can't wait. And thank you so much.
Awesome. You're so welcome.
Thanks.
It was great having you guys on the headquarters, and welcome to the F4L.
Thank you.
Bro, I don't even know what to say.
Peace. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone and happy holidays.
Yeah.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys as well. And we'll be in touch.
That sounds great. Thank you.
Well, yeah, Therese, come true. Peace. So, again, we make people happy, and we make goals happen, and dreams come every day. So, congratulations. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.